session.
Okay.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. This is not the Scotchbluff extra session. If you want to attend the Scotchbluff extra session, it's across the hall in the Ruby room, maybe, maybe not. This is the Enum working group session of RIPE59. My name is Carsten Schiefner. I'm co-chair of this working group. If you haven't had a chance to meet Neil so far, Neil O'Reilly, he is the other co-chair of the working group over there. Thank you so much. We have Alex Lehoe as a scribe of this, as a minute taker of this session, and Pedro da Silva Vaz as the Jabberwock. If you go to the microphone to comment on something or ask a question, please state your name, as the session is being recorded and also webcast. And last but not least, I'd like to ask you to switch off or at least mute your mobile devices so that we can have an almost undisturbed session here. The agenda, as you probably have seen on the mailing list, is rather short this time. Let me walk you through the agenda of this session. We have the minutes of last time. We're going to review the action list. We have two main presentations from Rui Ribeiro from the local National Research and Educational Network from FCCN. We have an Enum operations report from Anand Budev from the RIPE NCC, and also on the short news on enumdata.org update. This time, no discussion on plenary presentations, as in particular there were no Enum-related presentations during the plenary. And also just a placeholder for any potential interaction that would be necessary with any other working groups. And that's pretty much it. So the minutes of RIPE58 in Amsterdam have been published on the mailing list at the end of July, with a deadline for commenting or corrections, et cetera, by 31st of August. And I sent out another mail to the mailing list that on the 2nd of September. By the way, there were no comments, no objections, no anything. So the minutes of RIPE58 were approved on the 2nd of September this year. Also, there was one open action item, which is now closed. That was the question, an action item on me, to go to the list and ask the list whether the RIPE NCC should also publish data on non-delegated Enum country codes or Enum 64 country codes, so that more or less on a regular basis, so that we can see where potential demand for a future country code, E164 country code delegation should be or might be. This has been done, and it wasn't really an overwhelming agreement. We had one explicit consent from Florian Weimar. But as I understand Anand, it's been a regular part of his presentation anyways from now on. So this has been done, and we will have such data being presented this time, first time, or actually first time as a regular part of the presentation. We had that once or twice already. And yeah, let's see, I've reviewed his presentation already, it's kind of interesting. So, which basically brings me to action, to part D. Of the agenda already, the two main presentations from Rui Ribeiro this time. Rui is licensed in computer science from the Lisbon University. During the last 11 years, he has worked at FCCN, the Portuguese National Research and Educational Network, where he had several responsibilities on multimedia services, including the development of VoIP service to the academic university. He has designed the first architecture on VoIP at RCTS, a project that reaches all the public universities in Portugal. At present, he is finishing his master's in economics and management of science, technology, and innovation. So may I call Rui to the floor?
Hi, I'm Carlos. I'm a colleague of Rui. I was just notified that he's arriving, but.
Okay.
So if you can change the order.
Okay, then I guess we should change the agenda and flip agenda item E to have that before agenda item D. Or? So Anand, could you come and start with the Enum operations report? That is here. I guess it is.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Anand Buttadev, manager of RIPE NCC DNS services, and I'm going to present a short report on Enum operations. So this Enum zone has been running since 2002, has been in existence since then. At the moment, we have six geographically distributed name servers for this zone, and five of these are available via IPv6. It's not a particularly busy zone. At the server nspry.ripe.net, which we operate in Amsterdam, the query rate is about 0.5 per second. Since November 2007, we have signed this zone. Some delegation updates. Since the last RIPE meeting in Amsterdam, there has been one new delegation, and that is for Jordan 962, and that was done on 15th of June. This brings the total number of delegations to 47. Of the 47 delegations, three of the zones are signed, Poland and Czech Republic. They also have secure delegations. The zone for the Netherlands 3-1 has also been signed, but they don't yet have a secure delegation. That's coming soon. So as part of the lameness project that the RIPE NCC runs, we also measure lameness in the Enum zone. And here's a chart representing the total lameness. 37 of the delegations are okay. There are seven delegations which are partially lame. By that I mean that they have one or more servers which aren't responding to queries for this for the zone. And three zones are completely lame, meaning all their servers are not responding to queries for that zone. We've also done some analysis on undelegated country codes. We captured some data on our server between the 7th and 16th of September this year. I used the tools DNS cap to actually capture the data and DNS stop to analyze it. It was interesting to see that about 20% of these responses were NX domain, the total responses. And of the top few NX domain responses, we had Portugal, the US, Russia, Spain, and Belgium. It might be interesting to note that the US used to be delegated, but has been removed. It was removed in February last year. So this is a pie chart that represents the NX domain queries. The huge big green section on the left of the chart represents Portugal. Beneath that we have the bit in orange that represents the US, and then the chunk next to that in yellow represents plus seven. That's the shared country code for Russia and Kazakhstan. And then there are chunks next to it for Spain and Belgium. So I was curious to see where all these queries were coming from. And unsurprisingly, 19% of these queries originated from one server in Portugal. There was a source in Spain which accounted for about 6% of the queries. And then there were seven others accounting for about 24% of the queries, and these appeared to be mostly cheap call providers of various sorts, mainly in Europe and in Germany, and there was one in South Africa. And the others, various sources make up about 10% of the traffic. So about 60% of our traffic came from, you know, these 20 sources. And that's the end of my presentation. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Anand. Yeah. Any questions from the floor regarding the report of Forinum operations? I see Peter Koch.
Yeah, Peter Koch, confused individual. The chart that you showed at the end, Anand, was that the percentage of total traffic or just the... even more confused, the next slide, apologies. Was this percentage of total traffic or percentage of the NX domain traffic?
This is percentage of the NX domain traffic.
Okay.
So sources which lead to NX domain.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? I see none. Thank you, Anand. And I guess we're looking forward to the Enum report next time then. Enum operations report. Thank you. There's Laura Copley from the Ripe NCC at the microphone with some more information on the administrative side of Enum at the Ripe NCC. Laura?
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, Carsten. I'm working in registration services where we process the Enum requests. Just a quick update on a couple of those. We had a request from Jordan, 962, which was completed in... June this year. On the administrative side, we had some paperwork that was missing from the list, and we fixed that just now and forwarded it to the list. So, and hopefully for the future, you should see all the paperwork on the list. And also, there's a request from 8835100, and this request is currently stalled. It's just waiting for the requester to update their name servers and we can proceed. But also, that was maybe not on the list, so just to give you an update in the session this morning.
Thank you. Any questions for Laura? Okay, I don't see any. Thank you so much. And yeah. Also here, keep up the good administrative work when it comes to Enum at Ripe NCC. And yeah, I've seen Rui now, so. We can be back to the agenda as put forward. Rui Ribeiro from the University of Lisbon.
I will present myself.
Okay.
Which one?
Which one? I think that the VIP RCS could be the first one. Yeah.
Hello all. My name is Rui Ribeiro. I'm here today making two presentations and with two hats. This first presentation will be about NRENAM and Web RCTS, and my cap will be of the NREN, local NREN. So I work at NREN for 10 years now, and I was very involved at the beginning of this VoIP project that we have on RCTS. And my presentation today here is about the usage that we are using on Enum, and in particular to using this tree, the Enum Net tree, since there is no E164 ARPA tree delegated in Portugal right now. So, since we had this big project and we needed to have some kind of addressing scheme that all could use, we were starting to look outside the ARPA network, the ARPA tree, to see if there were any trees available, or because we didn't want to make a private tree, okay? So we looked at there is e164.org and there is others. But we thought, well, we are an NREM, we don't have profit from this, and we don't want to pay later on to anything. So, and since ARPA, E164 ARPA is not available, me and other friends of mine from NRENs, and I would like to state here Kevin, Bernie, and Eric, that they are from Switzerland, Netherlands, and Kevin is from Deutschland, but he was working in Australia at that time. And everyone said, well, let's make a new tree, and let's call it the Enum Net tree. And the objective of this tree is to be a temporary alternative to E164.ARPA. So the idea is not to substitute it, is not to make a war against this. The idea is just to have some kind of substitute while E164.ARPA is not available in those countries. So EnvNumNet is an effort of national research network, education networks, in order to use this as an Enum solution. So why create EnvNumNet? Because it is not available in some countries, and in Portugal is one of those. And we had these projects that we really need to interconnect with. And well, anyone can create a tree. Why not we create a tree? So we started doing it, and for a couple of years, it was Bernie and Kevin that were managing this. But later on, Turina, as the organization on top of many NRENs here in Europe, said, well, we could take this as administratively, and Switch is taking this technically. So the primary domain is hosted on Switch. This is a snapshot from the EnvNum site, and there is some workflow that goes around, but it's fairly easy. You just have to send an email to Turina saying, well, I would like to get the delegation for that country, and they delegate it with no problem. So, is EnvNumNet against Enum? No. Okay? What we are supposed to do, all the good followers of EnvNum, is always query first E164.ARPA. That is why that previous slide that you presented says that we are querying E64.ARPA, but there is no query, an answer from it. And we are good behaved. So, and next we go and we ask for EnvNum.net. So who's participating on EnvNum.net? Right now there are 10 countries that are populating it with numbers, and there is at least 13 that are querying it, okay? And there are others, and we are saying about those sheep call VoIP operators. And I believe that this is true also for EnvNum, because I have a friend of mine that uses VoIP, cheap VoIP operator, and he comes from VoIP. I'm sure of it. And I think that he doesn't know anything about EnvNum or about my numbering scheme or anything, but he comes from VoIP. So I believe that cheap operator also is playing EnvNum. You can get more information about EnvNum.net at this website. Well, I'd like also to introduce you a bit of the VoIP project that we are making. This is some of the staff of FCCN. We were created in 1987, and we manage the RCTS, that is our network for higher education network. and we manage also the ccTLD for .pt. This is our network. We have high bandwidth, and we have are very keen on video conferencing and web and video and so on. So this thing about addressing and real-time communication is something that we are always looking on. We have a potential universe of 400,000 users. So what is VoIP RCTS? It's a project to deploy an infrastructure to higher education and R&D institutions. Okay. There are three main objectives. There are many others, but for this audience, I think that these are the three more interesting. So it's to implement an interconnection, so hardware to interconnect traditional PBX with the network. So we have 220 MIDI gateways, 80 PBXs, 40 session border controllers, and each of them makes a domain to each institution. You have to know that we don't provide one single network to the internet. These are 40 different networks, SIP domains that are connected to the internet. And we provide 44 domains. This is kind of a pre-trial project to INAM. And I will explain later on my second presentation what this really means. And we are querying E164 ARPA and RENAM and afterwards E164.org because we know that there are lots of numbers that are populated there also. And the third objective, I think this is very interesting as project because we are interconnecting directly through IP to operators, okay? We are not going through CDM or E1s or nothing. There is directly IP connection for all the operators, even the mobile ones. And this is very interesting for the universities also. The milestones were, well, it's the project started 2 years before of 2007 and with my first draft. But we bought the equipment, we bought the voice service, and we joined nrenam.net in July 2008. Okay, the service has started in January this year, and right now is about 80% of the number is already in place. This is the architecture. This is just a picture. You could ask me later on if you want some details on this. But there are central services where there is INAM, and there each university has its own domain with each own SBC and other equipment. Description of the components. Current status, 44 institutions, 220 MIDI gateways, each is connected directly to each PBX, and right now we have about 27,000 DDI registered on our tree. And I think this is a very good number, okay? And we are supposed to reach the 32,000 at the end of this project. Well, this is the graph that I would like to show you. Although we have these 20,000 numbers on nrenam.net, our queries from our customers, I think, 70% goes to mobile. So it queries the nrenam, it queries ARPA and so on, and later on it doesn't go anywhere, so we just go to the mobile operator. And there is this big chunk, this blue mobile. Then it goes to landline. Then you have that yellow piece, I think that you can show here, this one. And these are about 5%. This is the calls that we can make inside of our network. Okay? And there are two other strange things. This is this little darker yellow is the international NRENAM. So there are 10 other countries that have NRENAM, but it's about 0.2% of all the calls. And INAM is also about 0.2% of the calls. So there is this E164 ARPA, but we are querying it all the time and only 0.2% reach something. So, well, it's interesting also, I think. So, as conclusions, we have what I would say the biggest, but since I don't know all the projects, I would say that it's one of the biggest NREM wipe deployment worldwide. We have IP trunks to operators with landline and mobile, and we will reach 32,000 DDIs. We are using NREM.net, but I think that it's not yet unleashed by the NREM, so people are not really pushing this as well as they could be pushing it. And I think that the NRANs with these kind of projects could be a critical mass for E164 ARPA and ENAM worldwide. Okay. So, questions about this project and NRANAM and other things?
Yeah, thank you, Rui. Any questions for Rui? I see Neil.
Neil O'Reilly, co-chair, lots of other hats as well. I'm interested, I'm impressed and interested to know more about the involvement that you had with the telephone operators. It seems that you had good participation, and I wonder how much persuasion you had to use.
A lot. But there are several issues about this. So we are at NREN, we don't have profit from this. We went to the regulator and there was some words about it, and this is kind of a trial to see how this can blow and grow in the country. So there are some persuasion, but...
Regulatory support was key, was it?
Well, there is some... Yeah. Some...
No, but what I mean is that if the regulator is eager to see this project go ahead, and then you have one point of persuasion because the regulator can persuade the operators if necessary, I suppose.
I'm not saying anything about this right now. Means,
yeah. Okay, offline then.
Peter Koch, DINIC, and we also operate the +49 ENAM registry. First, I wonder whether you could figure out together with Anand that there might be any connection between him seeing so many queries for the Portuguese prefix and your project, since he had very particular sources there. But obviously you can't solve this online, but it would be interesting just out of curiosity. The question I have is, you mentioned that this project, NREM.net, is only available for countries that do not have ENAM in production. I had a quick look at the website, and it may just be probably not completely up to date or something, but I think there's a bit of overlap that there are countries participating that do have ENAM registries. So is that legacy and you didn't tear down the participation there, or are there any other reasons for that overlap?
The main objective and how it was meant to be was if there is NREM on the country and that country starts with E164 ARPA, then the NREM should make all the effort to pass all the numbers to ARPA. Okay? But I think that there are some problems because the validation function and all the things that ARPA needs and NREM doesn't need. So there might be some bureaucracy that needs to be made to shift all the numbers to the new numbering scheme, to the ARPA numbering. So that's why I think that there is this overlapping that you are saying about. But the main idea originally is if there is ARPA, there is not NREM available for that country.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any more questions from the floor? I see none. So I have two, actually. That is basically a little bit related to what Peter just has asked. Can we see like a relocation of the Portuguese NREN ENAM tree to under E164.ARPA anytime soon, or are there
Are there no projects in plan to actually apply for three?
I will answer you on the next slides.
Oh, okay.
Because the well, I'll explain it later. But the other slides answer that question.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to be curious a little bit longer. The other one, if you could go back to the pie chart of the call, yeah, this one, the call distribution. I just wonder. You said that the fraction of the gold tree being queried, as well as the international part of NRENM.net being queried, is we can see, is rather small. So I just wonder whether the reason is that simply most calls are just national calls anyways, or whether these zones are simply not populated, so essentially that hardly anything can be found there.
I think that the network is very sparse right now. So I have 100 institutions, and there are maybe 100 institutions on the NRENM. Mm-hmm. And the probability of someone calls to those is very small. So that's why I put here also this green part. So you have to correlate this yellow, dark yellow, with this green. And let's say that this green isn't always for universities. So, but since there is, it is very small also, the international part of NRENM.
Okay, thank you. Which basically is still Rui Ribeiro on the stage with the second presentation. And
yes, so I will take my cap off of NRENM and from the NREN, and I will put my, I think this is, and slideshow. And I'll put my cap of student. Right now I'm finishing my master's in the managing and economy and management of science, technology and innovation. It's a very big name, and mostly it says, well, how things are evolute in innovation and economy and science. And for my final thesis, I asked for my teachers if I could do some work about INAM, because there is this paradox. Why doesn't it rise? Why doesn't it die? And I think that all of us that are here are asking always this. Although IPv6 has some kind of this question also, there are some very, people understand that they have to change. But on INAM, it seems that it's rather more difficult, because most people say, well, we don't need numbers anyway, so why bother? But let's start. This is my agenda. The study context is based on my professional backgrounds. As I said, I work on the NREN, and I have some responsibility on voice projects and video conference, and I think that video conference could be the key here also. I'm making this master's degree, and there is the Portuguese situation, and my work is mainly about INAM in Portugal, not INAM worldwide. And in Portugal, there is this situation that I resume in these five lines. So there is Portugal Telecom, that is the natural incumbent here in Portugal. There was a liberalization that started in 1998 until 2000 in various stages. And this liberalization, well, most of the other operators are now about 8 years, so they are very small or junior, or don't have the critical mass to do anything. The late digitalization of the network on the 80s is also important, because there are a few network TDM, a few TDM centrals, so equipment that has not been all paid for. So there is this accounting problem that people have to use it in order to pay it, and will not buy anything else unless this is paid for. In 2002, there was this idea from the Portuguese government to sell back the universal landline to Portugal Telecom. Although there is some regulatory saying that Portugal Telecom should be network neutral in this kind of service, in fact, there are some stories that show that it's not really neutral. And we have 2.5 mobile operators. In fact, we have three, but the third one is very small, so it's about half size of the others too. So there is 2.5 mobile operators. And there was this operator that was to be here right now as a 3G UMTS operator, but it failed to interconnect, and the regulatory could not enforce that to operators. And in fact, it just collapsed itself because it could not connect to anyone, and the technology was too late, and it just died. Well, the INAM in Portugal. I think that, ANACOM is the Portugal regulator for telecommunications here in Portugal, and that's a nice thing. And in 2001 and 2002, there were lots of workshops. I've been at least to two of them. In 2000, then it was this nothing, and in 2007, there was this workshop about NGN, and as we know, INAM and NGN are together. And late this month, there will be also a workshop. So in 10 years, 4 or 5 workshops. So it's not much, but it's something. In 2005, there was this public hearing about VoIP services and how it should be provided by operators, and it was stated that, well, VoIP is a service, operators could provide it if they want to, and there was this bright idea of making a new number on the Portugal numbering scheme, that is the 3, I think that it's the 3-0, I don't know if it's only the 3, and the idea is to create this nomad numbering, so when you call the 3, the user is supposed to know that, well, the caller might be anywhere in the world. So this is opposing to other locations here in Portugal. So it's something, it's an idea. There was an INAM public hearing in 2006. It took about 1 year to get the results out, although the query was very fast, so they put the query out, in 1 month or 2 months they had the results from operators and other institutions, and it took about 1 year to get results out. And it states that FCCN should be a partner. That's nice, because FCCN, as I said, is an NRAN, no profit, TLDCC manager, that's fine. But it should be driven by group of interest from operators. So this, I think this is the flaw. Because FCCN is not an operator, you have to know that. Although we provide services to universities, we are not operator. Although we have this project that really wants to use INAM, we are not operator, so we cannot drive this kind of project. We are ready to work with ANACOM at any time since the date of this kind of result. And there is no filter out yet. So right now, I'm asking why. Why there is no trial, why there is no INAM, why? So I started to make conversations with several people. I come to these meetings, I go to others, and there are some findings that I'm finding interesting. So the first one is, well, if there is no business case, there is no INAM. So on Monday, there was this presentation from a business case for IPv6, and everyone said, whoa! And here is the same thing. If there is no business case, there is no INAM. So I start looking of the INAM service and the several tiers and how could it manage. And I think that on tier one, the registries and higher level, I think that it's sustainable. You will not make much profit from it. You will not be rich, but probably you could, if you join forces with the CCTLD or others, other existing service, you could have a sustainable business model if you have the critical mass of about 40,000 numbers. Okay, let's say that it's €5 a year, 40,000. It would pay the servers and maybe one or two persons to manage it, and I think that technically it would be possible to go. The tiers to the registrars, that's a more difficult situation because, in fact, you know, Enum and VoIP and the internet is free, so everyone knows that everything is free, right? So why to pay anything? So someone has to package the bill in some other service and so on. So I found out that there are institutions right now in Portugal that are making some kind of service similar to Enum, and they charge it with support fees or broadband or other packages. They provide equipment and they pay and they provide other service, and the user really don't see, but they get the money from it. Cost reduction, everyone knows that, and new services and new products, because you cannot advance if you don't have the infrastructure, and this is kind of infrastructural in place. Okay. For users, I think that this is interesting. The other day I lost my phone. I've lost my cell phone, and I was thinking, well, I should have many phones with the same number so people could reach me, and Enum could solve that problem. But I have this cell phone, and it has that number with that card, and if I lose it, I lose my number right away. So this could be an interesting service. And there are other services like encryption, video conferencing, multi-device, and so on, that are only possible if it's fully IP solution, and if you don't have the Enum, if you go through TDM or mobile, you just lose much of these value-added services. And there is also the operators. For them, it's not that good business model. So, in fact, I think I agree with it, with the operators. In fact, I don't think that it's a very flashy business model for operators. It's high risk, opposing to what we could see here. This is the graph that I took out from Anacom document about the communications these 4 years. And this is destinies of calls, you know? There is this just, it's flat. Is a flat graph, okay? As also is this one, and this one, and there is this one that is higher up. But in fact, what happens is that most of the graphs that you can see on this report is that it's flat. So if you come with a disruptive solution, you don't know which side it goes. So let's maintain the business model, and it's just flat. And this, it's good. In this case, it's high above because this is the introduction of, you know, pre-call, prepaid phones. What I also think there is that there are two kinds of VoIP. Just like there is two types of Enum, you know, user Enum and infrastructure Enum. In fact, there is also two kinds of VoIPs, infrastructure VoIP and user VoIP. And they map directly into each other. There is also a lack of knowledge from IT personnel, and I think of IT personnel not on the operator side, I think on the user enterprise side. So in fact, people know about VoIP and know about Skype and so on, but if you ask them, well, do you know what is user Enum or what is user VoIP, or could you connect outside your network? They said, no, I don't know anything about that. I made this little project on my, well, that was to see how many domains are available on Portuguese network that could answer SIP calls. Okay? And I found out that 0.39% of domain in Portugal have VoIP enabled. Okay? This is very, very low. And there is another thing that is on the business module, but it's here, that in Portugal, enterprises have these PBXs, and the PBX is not managed by themselves. They usually are managed by the operator, which they are connected to. And when they say to the operator, well, I want to operate my PBX, the operator say, well, let's go to VoIP. It's hype, and you should reduce your costs, and so on and so forth. And what happens is that the operator goes to the integrator, and the integrator puts the IPBX there. User VoIP is available on that installation, but it's not offered to the users. So in fact, they have this technology there, but they don't provide any user VoIP capabilities to institutions or to enterprises. In fact, they say that it's impossible. It's not true. The other thing is that the users must be proactive. It's like, and we are talking about not the user enterprise, but let's say that the user, you know, the common user, have to be proactive if we want to go to Enum in a wide deployment. Then, as all the innovation presentations, there is also this, always this graph. And this graph describes the maturity of technology or the innovation or the spreading of the innovation. And what I think, is it, I don't have any numbers that with document this, but what I think is what's happening is in 2000, you know, there is VoIP, you know, that was starting out, and there was Enum. And Enum, you should see that is always connected with VoIP, because you need to have VoIP, our video conferencing services, in order to Enum have spreads. Okay, so Enum is always dependent from VoIP. And I think that on 2004 there was this evolution, and people were stepping and going. But I think that in 2008 there is this separation, okay, or somewhere between 2004 and now, where the infrastructure VoIP, you know, from operators and between themselves, VoIP has really take off. As Enum did on infrastructure side, because as we know, mobile operators have Enum on themselves, with themselves. But the VoIP from the user side is still on the early adopters phase, and such, the Enum is also behind. So there is this separation on this innovation spreading that I would like to for you to picture and to see. More findings, there is this very big difficulty. This is externality that why should I pay to maintain my register if the other guy is the one that saves the call, you know, saves on the cost of the call. And this is very difficult to make a business model from this, because the other guys is the one that gains everything. And there is also the other problem, that is the size of the network is not big enough for people to start and seeing it as an interesting way of doing things. Well, technology is not a problem. Standards are on, phones are there, SIP servers are there. They are not too costly. There is broadband, there is processing power. A few years ago, the problem is that the phones were not full feature enough, or would not process the calls, but that's not a problem now. And there are some other issues, but they are not really technical right now, and you don't have solutions for it unless you have the the network in place. Okay, and this is NAT, SPIT, emergency call, and so on. As a conclusion, I would like to state that I found some successful implementations worldwide. And when it happens, there is usually a strong commitment from the regulator. The TLD usually is a technical partner. There is always a field trial because every market is a distinct market. And I think that NREN should work or could work as a critical mass for the trial and for INAM in each country. And I think that the timing is now or never. Some suggestions from me, okay? Do it or die. End the opt-in enrollment. So right now, countries just come here and say, well, I'd like to enter or not. Stop that. put everyone in and start doing it. At least providing a special number prefix for INAM lookup. Don't query everything, just query at least a few numbers or a small part of the tree. I think that this is a very important thing, is you must detach the number from the service of the voice. Yesterday I was making a conference with video conference guys in Polycom has made a workshop yesterday in Lisbon, and they have five or six video conferencing systems, and you could not give numbers to them because it's only IP. There's no TDM network there, so you cannot give a number if you don't have a connection. That's I would say stupid, but why not? Numbers should be access service. I'd like to ask for a number, and that equipment is there. I want to have a number. Why not stop calling it user INAM? If I'm on a big company, I will not adhere to user INAM. That's for the end user. And the IT personnel like to... I don't think that user name is the right name. Maybe enterprise name could be a solution. And this marketing upgrade could be something interesting. Maybe as providing some kind of SIP server, multi-domain, with the INAM service itself could be interesting. I'd like to say that this is a very good approach from NRANs to video conference. Right now we have gatekeepers that are on free love zones. So people could just register there and they get the number. And you have to see that the service should be packaged. Like there is free email server and free address for the email server and web server and so on. Why not free address for web service? Okay? We must make much more workshops. And probably we should look at the DNS sec-like implementations because there are private information on INAM that people are really asking. Well, it just stands. Okay. So, and this ends my presentation, and I think that I got the time right.
Definitely you did. Thank you. Any questions for Rui from the floor? I see Neil stepping up to the microphone.
Neil O'Reilly, co-chair. I found that a very stimulating presentation. It raises lots of questions for me and for what we're trying to do, and in particular what our INAM Tier 1 is trying to do in Ireland, but I think that's not for now in this meeting. And I'm just really impressed at the sort of richness of the analysis, and I'm wondering, why didn't I think of some of those things before? So great stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, again, I'm also very grateful to have the presentation here right now. Yeah, so thank you. Any questions from the Java? No? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Which basically brings us to agenda item F, short news. And this is Neil O'Reilly with a little brief of an with a brief update on enumdata.org. Neil, thank you.
Thank you, Karsten. The tapping isn't enabled. This will be very brief news. I give this as a routine presentation at each of these working group meetings, and the main purpose is to remind you that we have a website for collecting information about the status of enum globally, and to encourage everybody who's in the room or who's listening out there on the web or who's listening on the mailing list to send in information. I was going to cover two things here, and one is that website, and the other is the signed Tier 1 zones, but Anand got there before me, which I'm delighted to see, and there's space for your input as well if that's opportune. Here's the URL of the website and a small snapshot of some of the data we have. Those are the nine enum or E164 country codes which have let us know that they're in production. I've learned during the week that there are a few more that have kept under the radar, and I'm working with them and with other people who have delegations to find out more information and to fill in the gaps in the website. You've seen these already, and Anand has put in a bit more detail than I have. Netherlands hasn't got the secure delegation yet, I think, and the other two are completely DNSSEC enabled. And yes, our website needs input from all of you, and that's the mailing address, enum-wg-chair@ripe.net, where Karsten and I can take your updates and get them onto the website. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Neil. Any questions or comments regarding the enumdata.org website? I see none.
There's one small item of short news that Karsten brought to the attention of the mailing list earlier in the week that looks on the face of it very interesting, but it may be just a press faff, we don't know yet, from BT, in which enum is actually mentioned. And if you haven't seen that or are not aware of it, please check the mailing list archives and you'll find a link to that that announcement. It looks encouraging because BT is talking about offering gateway points to IP VoIP operators. I don't know in which marketplaces yet, but that could be very interesting.
Thank you, Neil.
I think Karsten mentioned that he had some short news as well, and he wants me to chair the meeting while he makes
well,
that so that
me,
he can
let
take
me,
his hat off.
Let me just walk us through the agenda first. And no. Oh, here we go. Where is Gideon? So, agenda item G is discussion on plenary presentations, but as we haven't had any enum-related presentations during the plenary this time, so there's no need for a discussion. Same basically with interaction with other working groups. From our point of view, we haven't seen any need for interaction with the enum working group to other working groups, but maybe other working groups at this point in time would like to interact with the enum working group, so maybe you just want to step forward now. Yeah, I can't see anybody. which basically brings us to any other business. So if any of you would like to raise a comment about something that's not has not yet been covered, please do so. If there is no any other business from people from the floor, that is exactly the point in time where I'd like to hand over the chair to Neil.
So that I can invite Carsten Schiefner to mention an item of any other business. Carsten.
Yeah, thank you, Neil.
Crush it.
What is that, Peter? I'm happy to announce worldnumbers.com to you very briefly. Worldnumbers.com is the first is a call forwarding service, but it's really the first service, as far as I know, that bases on Enum technology. So I'm looking forward to give you a fully fledged presentation about the technology behind it during the next session of the Enum working group in Prague. But if you're curious enough to get a little bit more information about it right now, please see me after the session of the working group. I'm happy to talk to you about it. But a full presentation is planned for, at least I plan for a full presentation for next time. Thank you so much. And Rich.
Thank you, Carsten. I can hand the chair's hat back to you then.
Thank you. Which basically brings us to agenda item Z, which is the close of that session. We currently have no open action items and no new action items emerge from this session. I thank you all to be here, and in particular I would like to thank the RIPE-NCC for all the support, and in particular my gratefulness goes to the scribe and as well to Alex as the scribe of the minutes, as well as to Anand for the presentation, to Laura and to Pedro for being the Jabberwock. But again, also thanks a lot for all the preparation the RIPE-NCC staff has done here to make that happen. Thank you so much. And this is then the end of the RIPE-59 Enum Working Group session. Thank you so much.
Thank you.